This podcast series is brought to you from the University of Winchester. We invite you to listen in as we talk with both academics and practitioners about their approaches to peace building and conflict transformation, discussing some of the most complex and pressing challenges we face in the world today.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. I'm here with Jenny and Shameen today from a project called Touchstone in Bradford. Jenny, could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that project?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the interfaith worker and I work really, really closely with Shameen, who's our community outreach worker. And we bring together women from different faiths and cultures in various creative ways. The idea is then that they listen to each other, they learn from each other, they increase in their understanding of one another, really that they form deep friendships so that we can make our community a more peaceful, equal and just place to live. I've always really been hugely interested in peacemaking and reconciliation, and that's really been influenced by my faith, in particular two verses. The first is love your neighbour as yourself. And I've come to understand, especially living in Bradford, and truly, truly believe that, of course, that doesn't just mean your Christian neighbour, it means your neighbour of all faiths. And it's been really important for me to act upon that verse in a very practical way. And I've also been really influenced by the verse, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think the word peacemakers is really important, as I think sometimes people hear that you're working in the world of peace and they think of that as a passive thing. But makers makes it a really active word. And actually, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, recently said, making peace is an action. It doesn't just happen. It requires us to be curious, to listen, to move across differences of culture, ethnicity, religion, and politics in love. And that really is what I've always felt called to do. And it's what I hope we do at Touchstone, which is why I was really attracted to the job when it came up, and I've been there for 6 years now, and I absolutely love it. I feel like it's a real calling and vocation.
Thank you, Jenny. What about you, Shameen? How did you get involved in Touchstone?
So as Jenny said, I'm the community outreach worker for Touchstone. And I guess for me, my journey started when I was much younger, and I grew up in a very multicultural, multi-faith area. And so that meant my parents and myself and siblings had friends from very many different faiths and cultural backgrounds. And that brought so much richness into my life. And I learned lots about other faiths from my friends, from their parents. And I recognized the value that that brought into my life. And even though we were of different faiths, we would always celebrate together, you know, whether it be Christmas, Diwali, Eid, we would always be in and out of each other's houses. And I guess what our parents taught us was to respect our differences and celebrate those things that we had in common. As I grew older and moved out of that particular area, I came into an area where there wasn't very many different communities living there, and I missed what I had as I was growing up. So I think my journey brought me to Touchstone as a participant initially. So I was signing up for the various workshops and projects that Touchstone were putting on, and I found a space where I was completely comfortable. I was meeting lots of different women from different backgrounds, forming friendships, and it felt very safe. And then the job opportunity came up for community outreach work, and I just felt that it was meant to be. And so here I am 3 years later, you know, working alongside a fantastic team.
Thank you. That sounds really inspiring. Can you tell us a little bit more about the communities that you're trying to bring together, and what are some of the challenges you face in that?
Yeah, so we bring together women from different faith communities across Bradford. We intentionally work with women, and they are from all different faiths. I think Shameen is going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges.
I think if I can talk about my personal sort of experience and challenges that I find, 9/11 really changed how the world perceived and saw Muslims. And as a very visible Muslim woman, I wear the hijab, although at the time of 9/11 I wasn't wearing the hijab, but the colour of my skin indicated a certain ethnicity and faith. You're always, whenever you're approached, I think sometimes people are very curious about you and the way you are, and they're just naturally curious, but I think sometimes there's a sense of fear as well, and that's from what they've seen in the media, and you know, it can be quite political as well. So I think the challenges that we do face are bringing sort of communities together, and I don't think that's necessarily because people are unwilling. Sometimes it's the area that you're trying to target. It might just belong to, say, South Asian or Muslim area, and I think those are the main challenges that we would try and face, because there's not that very many opportunities to bring people from different backgrounds together. And obviously we do that, but sometimes the challenge is trying to get into a particular area to bring women together.
Yeah, so you can find in our city that people, like exactly as Shamim have described, can live alongside each other rather than living kind of together. So you can, you know, perhaps go to a nursery, a primary school, a secondary school without really meeting people from different faith communities. So like Shamim said, there aren't many spaces where you can do that, and Touchstone is one of them. Although I think one of the things we'd like to say is that people often see talking about faith as a challenge and one they want to avoid, because they think of it as something that can divide people, whereas we find actually that talking about faith can be a really positive thing and something that unites us. And that doesn't mean we ignore our differences and just say that we're all the same, but it means that we celebrate what we have in common. So for example, all our faiths have values of loving your neighbour, of justice, of mercy and of peace. And it's on focusing on those. And then we do talk about our differences, and like around the theology of our faith, for example, but we can respectfully discuss them and learn to live well with each other in spite of those differences. And I think it's one of the things that's quite unique about our organisation, that we don't shy away from talking about faith. In fact, we actively encourage it. And often the feedback we have from the women is that Touchstone is really the only place that they can talk about their faith in a positive way, in a non-judgmental environment. And that's something that they really value, actually, you know, that they say that their faith's a big part of their identity. They want to talk about it. They're told in so many spaces that they shouldn't talk about it, or that it's difficult to talk about it, whereas we say the opposite.
I think I'll just add to that about, I was supposed to say about the hijab, that sometimes often you find when you walk into a space, and especially I found it a lot, is that people only ever want to know about your head covering. And at Touchstone, although we do have conversation about head coverings, it's not just about that. It's, as Jenny said, we're talking about faith in a really positive way. And I found that to be a really encouraging sign when I was a participant there. So I think that's what a lot of the women appreciate, whether they're Muslim or not.
Thank you. Yeah, I can definitely relate. When I lived in Bradford, many years ago, I can relate to the kind of negative press that they got at the time, and I found it quite staggering that, you know, I lived in a place quite close to the university, which was quite a Pakistani area, and I remember when there were the different terrorists attack, two minutes later it felt like you had the helicopter from Sky News and whatever else hanging over you. So I do remember how difficult that period was, and how much stereotyping was happening at the time. Could you tell us a bit more about what kind of activities do you do in Touchstone?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit about one of our projects called Light in Communities. So this arose out of a conversation we were having at work about how we've just been talking about, really, about how faith is always presented in a negative way by the media, and that this isn't our experience of our own faith, nor of our friends of different faiths. So we devised a programme called Light in Communities, and we gathered together groups of women from different faiths, and we talked to them about who or what brings light to our lives, how our faith brings light to our lives and helps us through dark times, and how we can be a light in our communities. And whilst we did that, we engaged in creative activities based on light, like candle making. And then there was a practical element, and each group decided on something practical that they could do which would bring light to their community. So one group, for example, joined in with a project that helps the homeless in Bradford. One group went litter picking. One group made cakes for a group of elderly people who met each week. And one group decided that they were going to paint stones with inspirational messages and leave them around the community. And that ended up being a really inspiring kind of special day, really. So we couldn't have known when we planned it, but it ended up being the day of the Westminster attacks in London, the day that we decided that we were going to paint stones. And we weren't sure whether to gather together or not, really, but we decided that we would anyway. And it became a really safe space for the women to talk about, obviously, the horror of that attack, but also for the Muslim women to talk about their fears around any backlash that might take part. And we decided that we would paint stones. We felt it was like an important thing to do. And we painted them with messages of faith and hope and love. And we planted them around the community. And one of the places we put a stone was outside a local mosque. And later on that night, I saw on social media that picture of the stone that we had painted with the words faith, hope and love on it. And the picture had been shared by a Muslim woman who came out of the mosque that night and saw the stone and said that it was really the only moment of light in what had been a really dark day. The thought that somebody outside of her community was thinking positively of her and her community and wishing them well on that day in particular was the only really ray of light she had in that day. And she posted that on social media to show people what had happened, and that got shared, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, really. And for us, it kind of showed that really just a small bit of light can make a big difference. And sometimes in our area of work, it's so easy to get overwhelmed and to think, like, what can we do to make a difference in this society that we live in now? But that showed us that actually sometimes it really is just what you think is quite a small thing can make a really big difference to someone else. So that kind of inspired us, really, with what we're doing. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed and you think, are you making a difference? But little things, yeah, can make a huge difference, really. I think Shamim was going to talk about another of our projects now.
Yes, I was going to talk about the sleep out. Was that right, Jenny?
Yeah, please.
So November 2018, the 11th of November, was Remembrance Sunday, and it was also the start of Interfaith Week, which is when organisations up and down the country engage in lots of interfaith work. And we wanted to mark this in a special way. So what we decided was that we wanted to do a sleep out for charity. So a group of us, all women of Christian and Muslim faith, came together, and we slept outside in a church car park. Now, the charity that we chose was War Child, and we chose this charity in particular because they do lots of work with women and children. And it was to remember that children's lives are mostly disfigured by war. So we wanted to do something that would tie in with it being Remembrance Sunday as well. And I remember it was 7 o'clock in the evening that we all got together, and it was really cold and damp. And obviously we'd brought our sleeping bags, and we'd brought lots of things to share, to eat, and we were wrapping up quite warm. But as you can imagine, it was a November evening. It was very, very cold. And I think for me personally, there was one point where I thought, I can't do this. This is too much. I'm so cold. I can't sleep on the floor. And then I think there was that moment where I remembered why we were doing this, and that the fact was that in a few hours' time, we would all be going home, back to our warm houses, fridge full of food, a nice warm bed. And there's those that this is the reality day in, day out of what they go through, and that we were really fortunate, and unlike the hundreds and thousands of children that are suffering in conflict zones around the world. So it was really special to share it with other women. And we raised nearly £3,000 for charity, and we had lots of support from members of the public, our family and friends, and it was a great way to start Interfaith Week and Remembrance Sunday.
Well, yes, a social action like Shamim just described is really important to us, and particularly that we do that of women from different faiths coming together. So another kind of social action project we did was a women's interfaith charity, Abseil, and that came about because I was watching the news one night, and it was when the bombing in Syria was at its height. I know there's still a conflict in Syria, but it was when it was really at its height and the media were reporting on it every day. And they were broadcasting from Aleppo, and there was a doctor in a hospital in Aleppo explaining that that was the last hospital left standing. And he was in the hospital, and he was describing what a humanitarian disaster it would be for the people in Aleppo if this hospital was bombed. And he made an appeal, and he put out an appeal and looked directly at the camera and just said, please, if you're watching this report, don't just turn off the television and go to bed. Think about what you can do to help us. Please, please help us. And when I turned off the TV, I actually couldn't switch off, and I kept thinking, what can we do to help? And I put out an appeal, and two of my Muslim friends came back and said, yep, they would really like to get involved with organising something. And we thought that it needed to be something really eye-catching to raise awareness and raise money. So we decided that we would do this interfaith charity Abseil down the bell tower of a huge church in Keighley town centre, which is a town near us. So there were 15 of us all together, women from different faiths. And we gathered together in Keighley town centre, and we all completed this Abseil down the bell tower of the church. It was completely terrifying. I'm terrified of heights, as were many of the women. So it felt like a real achievement that we all made it to the bottom. And before we did that Abseil, we all gathered in a circle together and held hands and kept a minute silence for the people of Syria. And that was a really powerful symbol. People walking past stopped to see what we were doing. They could see that we were women from different faiths coming together to raise awareness of what was happening, and that we were doing something practical to try and raise money. And people again stopped because you're not used to seeing women abseiling down a bell tower. So they were stopping to ask what we were doing. So and we were getting into great conversations with people. So yeah, it was a really positive experience of women coming together to raise awareness and raise money of something to show that we were trying to help in a very practical way.
Thank you, Jenny. I wondered what you felt the sort of motivation was, or the importance of bringing together just women from different faiths, or whether you'd also you've done work with men as well, or whether you're kind of motivated to focus on bringing women together.
Yeah, sure. So it is a conscious choice to work with women. We often find that the world of interfaith happens at a very civic and faith leader level. There's a real need for that work. So I'm not knocking that work in any way. But what you find is that tends to be very male, because when people go to the civic leaders and the faith leaders, they tend to be male. So you find this sort of world of interfaith that is still very, very male dominated. And we, living in our community, have really come to see and believe that it's often women that are actually the real change makers and the real peacemakers who have influence in their community. And so we wanted to gather together those women and to empower them, really, to say to them, we are the change makers, we are the peacemakers. It doesn't just have to be about interfaith at a civic faith leader level. We can make a real difference on the ground too. And that is something we have come to really believe in more and more. The more we do it, we can see the impact that these women are having. So yeah, that is a conscious choice to work with women, to give them a space of their own and to empower and challenge them to be the peacemakers that we know they can be.
Thank you. Thank you. That was really inspiring. I especially like that you have so many different activities going on and that you are also sort of challenging yourself and challenging other women. I think that abseiling sounded like an amazing experience, and a good way to get conversations, talk, you know, get other people invited to take part in the conversations as well. And I also really like the idea of doing little things, because I think there's something around doing little things that can have a massive effect that you didn't necessarily think was going to happen when you did it, but it can be a bit like a snowballing effect. So thank you for sharing that. Just wondering, if resources and finances wasn't an issue, what kind of project would you start now?
Gosh, well, we actually, we've talked about this before, and really resources are an issue. They're our biggest limits. Finding funding for our work is always a challenge. And what we notice is that funders are really interested in projects that attract huge numbers of people, whereas what we've found is that our groups are actually most successful with lower numbers, because people feel safer to be open and vulnerable. And what you find when you have those small groups is that these women form really deep and genuine friendships. They discover their shared humanity, and they discover that there are experiences we share as women that transcend our religious differences. And it's really, really powerful. But it best happens in small groups. So really, I guess my answer to that question is I would just like to be able to do many, many more of those small groups. I think we really enjoy the work we do when we actually think that it works, but we can't do as much of it as we would like to. So if resources weren't an issue, we would just like to do many more of those groups without worrying all the time about how we were going to fund them.
I wondered if you could share one or two memorable moments in your work which you found really rewarding.
So I can talk about a project that we did called Weaving Women's Wisdom, and I'll explain a little bit about why that was so memorable. So we brought together again groups of women from different faith traditions. This time the theme was about women that had inspired them in their faiths and lives. So we asked them questions like, which women in your personal lives have influenced you? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? What's the wisest thing anyone's ever said to you? And from the discussions around those questions, each group was asked to design and weave a rug that reflected those conversations. It was up to them how they took that forward, but each group did produce a rug. And what was really interesting was that each rug ended up representing the group. So for example, we had a book group make a rug, and their rug ended up being a picture of different books with all the women that had inspired them embroidered onto the spine of the books. But as with all the projects really that we do, it was the safe spaces that project created and the relationships that formed that was the really important thing. And the women were sharing such beautiful and personal stories and memories of the women in their lives. And this drew them close together, so that when what we might call difficult issues arose, they found they were in a safe space to talk about them. So the really, really memorable bit over and above all of that was that the rugs were joined together to make an exhibition, and the exhibition actually ended up on display in the Houses of Parliament, and staff at Touchstone were able to host it. So Shamim and I took our turn, and we hosted that exhibition together for 3 days. And what we couldn't possibly have known beforehand was that the exhibition ended up being there in the week that the government carried out military strikes in Syria. And so there were emergency debates happening in the House of Commons and the House of Lords about that action. So there we were, Shamim and I, with our exhibition sandwiched between the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And we were able to talk to people walking past us all about the importance of grassroots women's interfaith engagement in bringing about peace. And it just seemed like this incredible juxtaposition to have this kind, these institutions of power debating military action while we were there talking about how women can create peace at a really grassroots community level. So that ended up being a really memorable experience for us.
Thank you.
I think for me, Jenny's mentioned one of the major memorable moments that we had. I think just each project that we do and each workshop session that we have, and to see friendships being formed, I think that's really memorable for me. And I think we did a project called The Art of Friendship, and so a group of women came together to make this friendship quilt, and we were stitching what friendship meant to us. And again, I'm going to share something personally. I was sat with a lady called Harminder, who's from the Sikh faith, and although she was very fluent in English, we always tended to converse in Punjabi, and we both understood each other. And it was really meaningful to be able to speak the mother tongue with this lady, and we found that we had so much in common in terms of our heritage. So that was really, really special to me. And unfortunately, Harminder passed away last lockdown. So, you know, I really cherish those memories that I have of she and I stitching this, you know, a part of this friendship quilt together. And then we also saw another friendship form with two of our other participants. And I know they won't mind us mentioning them. And Hazel, who is a Christian woman, and Asma, who is a Muslim woman. And they just sat together. They'd never met each other before. And just as the weeks went on and we were stitching the quilt together, their friendship started to stitch together as well. And so much so that they now each refer to each other, or their families refer to them as the Muslim twin and the Christian twin. So it's really wonderful to see your work come to fruition like this. What you hope to achieve, it's wonderful to see it being achieved.
That's a lovely story.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really nice. Good to hear about all your good work. Thank you so much for taking time out today to talk to us about this. This has been really, really interesting.
No problem. Thanks for asking
us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And keep going.
Thank you.
We'll be back in Bradford soon, as soon as this lockdown.
Great. Come and look us up if you do.
Yeah, I will. We should go for a coffee in the real world, shouldn't we?
That would be really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.